OSO Fire Chief Willie Harper was about to mow his lawn the Saturday morning of the slide when he got a call about something in the roadway. He told his wife he would be right back.
And then I came over the hill, and you couldn't really tell what was going on. It was just a tarp in the road, and it kind of looked like some mud. But it was like wasn't registering that I couldn't see what wasn't there or what used to be there.
There were already civilians there and a state patrol trooper who was trying to keep people back because of downed power lines. That's when somebody yelled out, "There's a baby in there." The civilians ran in. Willie and two firefighters followed.
It was really weird to walk out there because it was like soup. You take a step and you think it was solid, and then you'd sink up to your armpits and dig yourself out. And I don't know, maybe we went out 500 feet or so, and there was a gal, Amanda, and her baby, Duke, who were basically in a tree, but what was now ground level, but basically up in a tree under a couch and stuck in there.
One of the civilians there was a friend of Willie's, a logger. He grabbed some chainsaws and they got to work cutting Amanda and baby Duke out.
Once we got her and the baby out, the baby quit breathing, so we did CPR on him. And then once he started coming around, we sent somebody out with the baby. But Amanda had a broken leg. Her face was all messed up from going through this debris.
Amanda and baby Duke survived thanks to those efforts in the first few hours after the slide, when Willie says they still really didn't have an understanding of what happened from their viewpoint. But as they waited for a helicopter to airlift Amanda and baby Duke out, things became more clear.
One of the other firefighters crawled up on top of this log pile and looked out, and he came back down and was like, "You know, what's going on? What do you see?" And he says, "Nothing. There's nothing there." And I remember that conversation. It was like, "I don't understand what you're talking about." He goes, "There's nothing there. There's no homes. There's no road. There's absolutely nothing. I can't even see the other end of the highway, which is a mile away," we found out later.
Willie and the other firefighters were pulled back because of concerns about flooding and the possibility more of the mountain could come down. But some civilians refused to listen and stayed in, something Willie is thankful for now, because those civilians helped to rescue several people, including 4-year-old Jacob Spillers, who lost most of his family in that slide. He had long been haunted by the possibility that people died in that debris field overnight that first night because they had been pulled back, but later found out from the medical examiner that everyone who died was killed by the impact of the slide, not from exposure or suffocation from being left out in the field. The morning of the slide, OSO Fire Lieutenant Tim Harper, Willie's brother, was with another firefighter in Mount Vernon celebrating a child's birthday party. He ran outside to his truck to listen to the radio. That's when he heard his brother Willie's voice.
His voice on the radio, just, I knew something was wrong. Like, I knew he didn't say anything like, "This is all gone," or, you know, "Help." It was just hearing his voice on the radio, and I was like, "Wait a minute, you know, like, this isn't a roof in the road or water in the road. Like, this is something pretty serious. Something's bad." So, you know, I walked back inside and I told Toby, I said, "Hey, I know it's your daughter's birthday, but we got to go."
Tim and the assistant fire chief Toby he was with in Mount Vernon quickly rushed to the OSO site. That first night, Willie, Tim, and his OSO fire crew led evacuation efforts in the valley and were eventually told to evacuate themselves. They refused. They were going back out at first light to look for survivors and would not leave anyone behind. Willie and the OSO firefighters camped on a hill above the valley floor that first night.
That night was probably the worst. Our captain was there, the previous captain, and his family had been taken. And we basically spent the night listening to him wail and scream and cuss and curse.
Their captain, Seth, had lost his home, his wife, and his 4-month-old baby granddaughter in the slide. Thankfully, the crew had just met a chaplain out for his first assignment, Joel, now a best friend of the brothers, affectionately known as Chappie. But that first night, a godsend for the OSO crew.
We've done a lot of training pre-slide. Everything you can think of, but the emotions of one of your friends that just lost everything, you can't train for that. And Joel will tell you he can't train for that. But he was that guy. I will be gracious for that man for the rest of my life, just for that night alone, because what could we say to a man that has just lost everything?
The next day, the county firefighters came in to lead the operation, but they kept the OSO crew on. Willie, as chief, it was decided, would stay at the OSO firehouse and coordinate the unprecedented volunteer efforts. Tim needed to be in the debris field. This was his community.
I mean, what a lot of people don't realize is 2 months previous, me and Seth were driving the rescue around as Santa Claus, you know, in Steelhead. We had a connection with every single person that was there, and we'd done this for years and years. I couldn't not be on the site. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I didn't care. You know, I had to be there. There was no other option.
Tim helped lead the teams of volunteers into the debris field on the west side of the slide. There were hundreds of them from day one. Locals who closed their businesses to be out there to help. A brand new volunteer, Oso Fire recruit, who quit his day job when it wouldn't give him the time off to help at the slide. Tim worked with the career firefighters from Snohomish County District 7, but also made calls to loggers who were needed for those firefighters to get down underneath what he describes as a field of pixie sticks to actually search for the victims. Those loggers came and were critical, along with all of the civilian volunteers, in eventually finding all 43 victims.
And these guys would stand, I mean, waist deep and dig through, and they would see things that a person shouldn't have to see in their lifetime, especially if they didn't sign up for it. I can honestly say I'm okay with adults. I feel like we've lived our lives, at least a majority of it, and when it's our time, it's our time. But I tell you what, the first child I pulled out of there, that broke my heart.
It's a whole nother level.
Some of those volunteers would pull out after the things they saw and, with apologies, say they could not come back. But there are so many volunteers, many they didn't know. Willie worries about them.
There's people that have came to us even this year, you know, 4 years later, that said, I think I need to go talk to somebody. I'm not getting better. Or something came up and triggered it. And I haven't had any professional help. I spent 6 months after the slide with Chappie. And so I feel like I've talked a lot of it out. But even to this day, I definitely have issues. And one of my biggest fears after the slide was realizing that there's so many people that could be having issues for the rest of their life that we have no idea.
Volunteers out of the Oso Firehouse logged at least 8,000 hours, and that's just from that location. There were many others. It's for them, all of the first responders, the families of those lost, and the survivors that Willie wants to see this memorial built and this incredible story of tragedy and humanity live on.
It's something that has to happen. You know, all these things happen in history, Mount St. Helens and these earthquakes and all these things happen, and it's so easy to forget about them outside of your own community. Obviously, we're never going to forget, but we don't want anybody to forget ever. And to be able to remember the people that were lost and recognize the people that gave forth these efforts, that's huge.
When the families asked him what he'd like in the memorial design, he had two requests. That the lone tree left standing after the slide one of the firefighters had climbed up and turned into a flagpole would be made permanent. The second request, whatever the families wanted.
I feel like we've waited too long to do this. I mean, we're turning the corner on 5 years here pretty quick. And I've personally, you know, worked up there packing wheelbarrows on top of wheelbarrows of beauty bark and weeding and picking up garbage and making sure that people understand that is hollowed ground. And I'm sorry, but 43 little trees on the side of the road does not give justice to what was lost there.
And in talking to these brothers, these volunteer firefighters from this small town station, it's clear this memorial is something they need to heal. But first and foremost, it's about the families.
You know, how could I ever complain? How could I ever complain about anything when they've dealt with so much?
As far as how this has changed them?
Are you asking me or my wife?
Don't answer that question.
You could say that you look at life a completely different way, because it can end. Anything could happen at any moment. And you always think that, you know, live life to your fullest. But when something like this happens, it really slaps you in the face.
I personally find myself shoving towards my career. Because when I'm at work, there's nothing that reminds me of the slide. When I'm home, it does remind me of that. So my wife and children have definitely felt the burden of that through the years.
And they say that doesn't even take into account how the slide impacted their wives and their children on its own. Besides the fact that their husbands and dads were the first responders, because for their families, this was their community too.